Business on Heart 1027.
For many young professionals in South Africa, that first salary comes with more pressure than promise. I don't need to tell you, the cost of living is high. Inherited wealth is rare these days, and one financial misstep could set you back for years. So here's a key question. How do you build wealth from day one? It's a very useful and pertinent question. And joining me now is Elalwani Ravele, who is advisory partner at Citadel, who, along with Kirsten Smit, co-hosts the Wealth Journey podcast. And she's with us tonight to talk through how young professionals can take control of their finances at the earliest possible point and avoid common pitfalls and hopefully set themselves up for long-term success. So, Elalwani, good evening to you and a very warm welcome. And let's start at the very beginning, if we can. What do you think the biggest mistake is that people make with their first salary? And I have to tell you, it was such a long time ago for me, I don't even remember it. But I'm sure there are others that are more recent.
Good evening to you, Jeremy, and the listeners. Thank you so much for having me. I relate to what you've just said, you know, the mistakes that we often make at the very first stage of having our first salary. So the common mistakes that we see here at Citadel when we deal with young professionals is that they want to buy luxury items such as handbags, shoes, expensive flights. Now there's even a common trend of flights to Dubai. So those are some of the common mistakes I come across, as well as buying expensive cars.
So let me come back at you and say I absolutely accept that, but I would also suggest that it's about finding a balance. It's all very well to warn against so-called lifestyle inflation, but is it really so bad to enjoy a little bit after we work so hard every month?
It's not bad at all. Hey, one of the things that we encourage is that pay yourself first, but do it within limits. You know, you don't want to pay yourself 100% of your salary. You want to pay yourself a portion. Enjoy it. It's your hard-earned money.
One of the best pieces of advice I was ever given was to make sure that there's always emergency savings. And I've heard figures anywhere from 1 month to 3 months to even 12 months. And I guess that would apply to how long you've been in the work environment. But doesn't matter what the duration is. Let me suggest that putting that money aside, those emergency savings, is not really that realistic for most young professionals, given, as we've discussed, that high cost of living and all the expenses that come with it.
Yes, you are right in saying that it's important to have an emergency savings, because later on in your life stage, you get to a point where you come across an emergency that needs money urgently. It could be a health emergency. Perhaps it could even be a household crisis, you know, and you just don't have the money anywhere, or you don't have illiquid assets that you can access. So one of the fundamental reasons why we advocate for emergency savings is so that when life happens, you're able to access funds, or you're able to liquidate some of your assets instantly to cater for that emergency. Because often at times you find that some emergencies cannot wait, not even an hour.
So is there a percentage of your salary, again, in the early days, and we're talking about young professionals here, that they should set aside to take care of that when life happens emergency?
There isn't a set percentage, but what I would recommend on my end is you start with a month's salary. Build up from that. Once you're comfortable and you build up your month's salary, move on to month two, month three, you know, up until maybe when you have about 6 months' salary saved up in your emergency.
One of the other, I think, important things for people at the start of their work career is to develop a healthy relationship with credit. And it's not a good idea to overuse credit to fund things like holidays or even helping your family. You've got to have a very conservative, judicious, and careful approach to that. Again, I would suggest in the early stages of one's career, that's where a lot of people are making mistakes.
Yes, you are correct in saying that. And I believe that's because of lack of information in terms of knowing what credit is and how it works. Also what we do at Citadel is that we have a literacy program that we have developed whereby we want to catch them when they're still young to try teach about credit, what credit is. So now for young professionals, what I always recommend is from day one, go see your financial advisor so that they can walk you through that process. Before the salary hits your bank account, you want to first try and understand what exactly is credit? How can credit help you? Because that's the one aspect of credit that people don't understand, that you can use it to your advantage and it can aid you in your financial goals.
Providing you don't fall into the repayment trap, is that the moment you get that monthly statement, pay off as much as you can, because we all know the credit or the interest rate charges are very high.
Yes, correct. I personally even fell in that trap in my earlier stages, and I'm grateful that I quickly came out of it, you know. And you know what they say, experience is the best teacher. I saw it for myself and I realized, no, this is not going to be sustainable long term.
And Lalwani, it's also about building longer term wealth, in other words, having an eye on the future. And I'd be very interested to know what your take is on buying property. Is that still a smart move for young South Africans, given, again, the high cost of living and whether there's any real value there?
It's dependent on the circumstances, Jeremy, I must say, because what we are facing right now in South Africa is that young professionals are facing high cost of living, and also they're having to take on the burdens of looking after families and extended families. So now when it comes to property, we have to look at all dynamics. Where are you staying? Is there a need to buy property where you are staying? What are the costs associated with the acquisition of that property? Because often at times you find renting might be the best solution considering your circumstances. And then as you move along your career journey, you may find that then buying a property will be the best investment to make.
Another trap that young professionals, I think, often fall into is the transport trap. And a car these days is often seen as a necessity. How do you advise clients to think about that expense when, again, it can be very, very high?
This is very circumstantial, again, because one of the things that we have to look at is if, say, for example, your office is literally 2 minutes walk from your place of residence and you don't really have a lot of happening during the weekends in terms of traveling, a car may not be a need for you. You know, you may want to walk to the office. But if, say, for example, your job requires you to be traveling in and out of the province or your city, then, and also your company does not provide transport, then perhaps there's a need for a car in that circumstances. Or maybe you have a young family and you need to transport kids to school. There may be a need for a car. So I always say it's circumstantial based. Look at your circumstances, and also very important to have honest conversations with self, whereby that conversation is not influenced by peer pressure or by what my peers are saying or colleagues or what's trending.
That is good advice. Sit yourself down in front of a mirror and have that very honest conversation with yourself, because if you don't, you could find yourself in all sorts of difficulty. Some good advice tonight to Lalwani Ravele, advisory partner at Citadel. Thank you very much indeed.
Heart Business on Heart 1027.